The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Secure the template. Set the backside guide to appropriate locks and basket. The backside guide tabs include setting the jig. Possession template. What the hell am I reading?
To the test, these brain teasers appear to be simple and uncomplicated, but they have been stumping people for years. These math equations and riddles were created to test your intelligence, so if you're up for the challenge, click the subscribe button and give this video a big thumbs up. Let's see how many of these 10 questions you can answer correctly. 10. Take a look at this pattern of numbers. 37, 34, 31, and 28. When looking at each number in the group, which number should come next in the pattern? If you guess the number 25, you're absolutely correct. The numbers in this group are all decreasing by 3. 37 minus 3 is 34. 34 minus 3 is 31. 31 minus 3 is 28. And 28 minus 3 gives us the final number of the sequence, 25. 9. Here's a tricky question for you. Michael's mother had 3 children. The first child was named April. The second child was named May. What was the third child's name? The answer is Michael. If Michael's mother had 3 children, Michael is the youngest and her 3rd child. Did you guess correctly? 8. If you've gotten the first questions correct, you're off to a good start. But this next question will definitely leave you stumped. Before Mount Everest was discovered, what was the highest mountain in the world? This is a tough one, right? Well, the correct answer is Mount Everest. It has always been the highest mountain on Earth, even before anyone knew it even existed. 7. Here's a brain teaser that really fooled us all. Are you ready? Here it goes. Which one of these sentences is correct? The yolk of the egg is white, or the yolk of the egg are white? What's your answer? If you guessed neither, go ahead and give yourself a pat on the back. Egg yolks are yellow, not white, so both statements are incorrect. 6. Okay, you have to listen closely to this question in order to get the right answer. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. A guy is running in a race, and he passes up the person in 2nd place. What place is he in now? The answer is he would be in 2nd place, of course. If the guy running passes the person in 2nd place, he has now overtaken that 2nd place position. Pretty tricky question, right? 5. Okay, here's a tough one. Michelle was born on December 28th, but her birthday always falls in the summer. How is this possible? Have you figured out the answer yet? If not, don't worry. It took us a while to figure it out, too. The answer is Michelle lives in the Southern Hemisphere. Places like Australia and New Zealand have their winter during our summer. So for Michelle, even though her birthday is in December, it falls in the summertime in her hemisphere. 4. A clerk at a butcher shop stands at 5 feet 10 inches tall, and he wears a size 13 shoe. What does he weigh? The answer to this tricky brain teaser is meat. I know you're probably a little confused, so let us explain. The question has nothing to do with the man's body weight. Instead, it's all about what he weighs for a living. Since he's a butcher, it's his job to weigh meat. Makes sense, right? 3. Okay, don't get too frustrated if you get this question wrong, because it's definitely one of the trickiest questions on the list. Okay, let's get into it. What word in the English language is always spelled incorrectly? You may be thinking all of the words you've seen misspelled throughout the years, but the answer is much more simple than that. The correct answer is incorrectly. The word incorrectly is the only word in the English language that's spelled incorrectly. I-N-C-O-R-R-E-C-T-L-Y. Get it? 2. Here's another question that's sure to leave you stumped. In British Columbia, you are not allowed to take a picture of a man with a wooden leg. Why not? Well, the answer to this question is quite simple. The man doesn't necessarily have a wooden leg attached to his body. The question is simply asking if you can take a picture using a wooden leg. So the answer is, it's impossible to take a picture with a wooden leg. It's only possible to take a photo with a camera. 1. We save the toughest question for last. Are you ready? Some months of the year have 31 days, but how many months have 28 days? If you said February, sorry, but you're wrong. The correct answer is all 12 of them. All 12 months have at least 28 days in them. Did we leave you stumped? How many of these
Okay, figure this one out. He's difficult. He's a bard, a pilgrim, and a godfather. And he's fascinating. He's the third one. That's right. He's me. Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. The show is Cotolo Chronicles, and we're here to chronicle. So stay here and be chronicled yourself. The brain is... Look at that, it stopped just when I needed to say the topic. The topic. To Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. I don't have to read it anymore. I only have very rare blackouts. Very rare times when I don't, it doesn't just roll off my tongue. And it doesn't roll either, because nothing rolls off your tongue unless it's a ball or a round thing. See, I got these things in my mind with the brain. I didn't talk about the brain tonight, all about the brain. And how the brain can be used a little better by you, certainly by you, and certainly by me. May I try? You know me, if you do know me. If you don't know me, then let me introduce myself. I'm Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles. I don't think many new people, I don't by new people, I don't mean babies, I mean people, new listeners. And I don't mean they're new to listening, because... You know, that's what I like about those brain teasers, okay? And I'm going to give you a few that I've written from, I'm going to give you a few of those to start off our talk, our discussion. Discussion takes two people, but, you know, I got six people. I could tune into what you're thinking, because I've been doing this for so long that I know what an audience is thinking, even though you're just, but it's just me and you. There's no guest tonight. And I'm going to just talk about this using my brain, as I always do, although sometimes I doubt it. You doubt it. And I'm going to, so that it's how you think, but not just, it's good stuff too. It's like, you know, food for thought, food for thought. It's interesting. So we're going to tell you what food is good. Talk about the brain. You know, your healthy brain is a healthy a person. And, well, although, you know, animals have, well, animals have brains too, but they're, and they are healthy if their brain is okay, but I don't know much about their brains. It's hard enough to know anything about ours, but we can communicate about ours. They can't communicate about theirs. This all, of course, kind of a spinoff from last week. Dr. David Reese was here. What a great guest. What a great guy. What a great psychiatrist. Something we all need, even though you don't think so. you want to point to other people. You know what? He needs a shrink because he's crazy. But talking about feelings defining reality, feelings, of course, emotions, all these things that come from the brain really do. They come from, everything is going to come from the brain. And it's just fascinating to look at one and think that that's in you, in your body. There's really strange stuff going on. I don't know if you think like that. Maybe your brain doesn't work like that. But I'm Frank Catolo, and I'm here, and it's another evening of where television, network television, as dangerous as its existence is these days. I don't mean dangerous the wrong way. I guess I should say delicate as its existence is in today's world of communication and entertainment. Never did it think it would be taken over. Especially when it held dominion over movies. And it was one time when television came out and became popular, the movie industry went, uh-oh. Now they could sit and get fat on their couch and eat chips and stuff and never get up and come to the movies. The movies were in trouble, man. This is how it works in the history of mankind, that's pretty much the mystery of mankind, pretty much contains all of the subjects and topics that are the foundation of us talking here, because we're not in those, individual pockets of I don't know what, you know, like, God, politics, God, religion, politics. What else is on? There's nothing else on radio. Radio sucks, man. It sucks big time. And I've been here, since internet radio began. And that leads me up to say happy anniversary to SRN Media Works. That's the hub, the server, the station. I don't know what to call these things anymore, right? It's the internet station that kept Catolo Chronicles going after Amcast died. And of course, no, that's not true, because after Amcast died, because we were on Amcast even when Amcast went off. They gave us the dominion. I like I'm using this word, like they gave us dominion over their server until they finally said, well, we're selling this thing and we don't want to get rid of it. We're going to put it on Jim Waskowitz's boat and sail it off into the sea, put it on a raft and send it off into the sea like Frankenstein's monster and Frankenstein and his monster. They were both there. And then just floated away until I guess they, drowned. Some monster. He drowns. But 20 years, and I've been there, they've been there longer than I have been with them, so that puts Catolo Chronicles in a, wow. Speaking of the brain, it's mind-boggling to think that where I sit right now, although I have, maybe there's the same mic, even though it stays together, in the middle of this microphone with scotch tape, and I don't know how that works. I guess the connections, as long as the connections are together, it doesn't matter what the shell, what's keeping the shell together. And in this case, and this could be a fabulous commercial for scotch tape, if 3M, if only they came to me and said, you know, why don't you do that thing about your microphone being held together by scotch tape? And we'll pay you for it. But what do I, you know, that would be good. I'll take the money, but they're not going to do that. They're not going to care. Even now, after all these years, after 20 some odd years, and boy, were they odd. Scotch, the 3M company hasn't come to me and said, Frank, here, we know you have listeners, thousands of them, between who listens live and who listens on, you know, podcasts or downloads or uploads or, you know, or juicetalk.com where you can get the archives, whether they stream it, download it, whatever they do to it. Thousands over a period of time could be hearing me talk about 3M. And they are right now because I'm talking about it, but I'm not getting paid for it. It's not even, it doesn't even, you know, there's no regulations on internet radio. So I could say, so I could stick, I could get paid for stuff and then put them into the content. Put the advertisement copy into the content of this show and they would pay me. I think that would be, I don't think that's illegal. There's no regulations. If Beano, for instance, this fabulous product that I've been talking about, which I don't get any money, let's suppose the Beano, the people at Beano, and by the way, you can pick up Beano at your local retailer. Beano, you eat it before you eat, but you eat it. The Beano people could pay me, and I could just say, yeah, I just had my Beano. What a fabulous, wonderful, delicious, sparkling dinner I had because I ate my Beanos before then. I don't, you know, one Beano does it for me. I don't know how many Beanos you need. The brain. Let me mention this too. Anyway, happy anniversary. I'm happy to be here. I'm glad that I made it through these years. As I said, there were some odd years. They were years that had their, if it was a train, let's say, I'm going to do, here it goes. If it was a train, it made stops in Payne County, in Heartbreak County, in Near Death County. Yes, 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 yes. But I'm still here, just like the Incredible Shrinking Man. I'm still here. Smaller. But I have not disappeared. And we don't know when it'll happen either. I don't mean that I leave this show because I die. I don't mean that. I mean that I leave this show because I want to. I want to stop doing it. I want to stop doing it. My desire is to leave the show and not do it. In which case, I guarantee you, with whatever powers I have to guarantee anything, that this will still be called, it will still be on. It'll be called Cotolo Chronicles. It just won't be this Cotolo. That sounds like a brain scrambler too. I'm not crazy about those brain scramblers, but they have to do with what we're going to talk. I'm going to have a little bit of fun. Then I'm going to talk about the brain and stuff about it that I'm going to learn as you learn it, because in this show, there's no preparation. Remember, I don't rehearse, but I'm always prepared. I just said there's no preparation. Well, there is no, there's no rehearsal. There's no writing of the show. There's no anything. It's just me talking to you. And you know, you and I know me. After this show, live, or if you're listening lifelike on another station, and again, CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, list the stations that will play rebroadcast this, and it'll still sound live to them. unless they're listening to this part, then they know. Then they know. If I tell them this, I'm saying this right now, and so you know it's not live on those stations. It's lifelike. And I say that because we don't manipulate this show. We don't edit. We don't do sound checks. We do nothing. And we've gotten away with this, mind you, for over 20-some-odd years, and boy, were they odd. I'm having a deja vu. No, I'm not. I remember when I said it. Wake up. It's night, my friends. Someone asked me, can you do that show again? And I can't find it. It's so difficult to find these shows I did. Can you do that show again where you talked about why you used Wake Up, It's Night and the whole tale behind that particular thing? And I will. I'll just do it again because I'm not going to go searching through God knows how many shows that I have somewhere on a hard disk somewhere, or this disk or that disk, or, you know, wherever it might be. To tell you about that. Maybe a new generation is coming on to listen to the show. I don't know this. I do know if you want to get in touch with me, fcatolo@yahoo.com. So now let me go back to what I was saying. What I was saying was that after this show, live and on other stations, look for Savino Veritas. It has come back after a hiatus, and it's come back bigger and better and funnier and more persistently. I forgot the word I was going to use, so I put persistently thinking I'd remember the word. It's more pertinent than ever to what's going on in this world. And it takes it, it's Mr. Savino has a unique way of expressing himself through him, through his voice, through sound or whatever. And he's going to be on this show again soon. We're going to get him and another Thomas Martin. And we're going to do the three amigos. If we get Thomas the Tank Engine also, then I will leave. And it'll be Tom Martin, Tom Savino, and Thomas the Tank Engine. The three Thomases will be here. We'll do my show. And then I'll be in his show, and then he'll be on his show and the other one. Both Thomas Martin and Thomas Savino have stents in their for their heart. Did you know that? How would you know that? It wasn't on Breitbart. It wasn't on CNN.com, NBC, MSNBC.com, or that CBS thing, which is constantly running, because now CBS wants to have a 24/7 news show. And I'll tell you all about that Wake Up It's Night when comes the time. So I told you about that. The Savino is coming, and you get your beverage of choice. You should have three. I have none now because I finished them all before the show, and I'm not going to leave here unless I play a song or something. Play a right? Then because I'm stuck here. I don't have an engineer. I don't have a sidekick. I don't have an audience. Nothing. Just me and you. It's a very intimate show. So I told you about that. I told you about Got Brain. I told you about that thing. And I'm going to add to my list of what would that be? Titles. I guess titles. Titles. To my list of titles. Of course, you know, I'm the difficult historian. I'm the king of the web, the pilgrim of productive alternative broadcasting, the godfather of internet radio, the bard of broadcasting, the third man, the vegetable man, and now I am also bard of the interweb. Bard of the interweb. Thank you, Mr. Minnick, for bard of the interweb, which really combined a couple of things. They're starting to put them together now, right? I'm the god. I could be the bard father. Maybe we could be. I'm the bard father of alternative broadcasting. You know, we could put them together. I don't know. The brain scramblers. There was on the game channel. Do you know the game channel? Yeah, there's all sorts of channels now on the whole cable. I have some brain scramblers. I want to tell you about these brain scramblers here for a second. I'm going to start. We could put these windows on to the, what is that called? The grid. You know the grid that's on the bottom of, Where are these? I downloaded them. Where did they go? I have... Where do they go when you download them? Hello? Remember that? I downloaded these brain scramblers because they were written on one. Oh, great. Now I got to go look for them while I'm... I guess it's in my download. Where do you go? Documents? Here, documents. Recent downloads? It's in my... What? See? I'm not even prepared. You say, he's not prepared. I don't even know. Where did I put those? Now I have to find them. I want to read them to you. And while I'm looking for them, I will talk. I'll do two things at one time. Because I'll tell you that these brain scramblers are new, but brain scramblers... Is that where it goes? Where's that down? Where's the download file? Is that under... He's still asking. Is it in computer? I was looking under computer. Downloads. Here we go. It says downloads. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Let's look. Where is it? On the bottom? I'm still asking. Voice. What is that? Where did it go? That's wild how it's not here. Should I do it again? I know how to do this. Wait, I know what to do. I just figured it out. So much to figure out when you use computers. Isn't that true? Even when you know. I've been using it for how many years? Now I forgot what I was saying. Oh, I go to my, here. Okay, I go to my, oh, wow. Oh, here. November 2nd, brain scramblers. And I put there, save as, and I thought I put it on, see? Okay. Save that on desktop. Save. Oh, I didn't save it on the desktop. Yeah, okay, here you go. Here's brain scramblers. Huh, there's just no reason to be this, talk about using your brain, right? There's no reason to be this confused about things like this that I've done for a billion years. Okay, I'm going to open up this, you know, Word. When I got this solid state hard drive, which we also had trouble with this thing, as you remember. If you remember, you don't remember, I'm telling you now, a couple of weeks ago. We couldn't come on because we blue-lined. Blue-lined? Flat-lined. Flat-lined? We blue-screen. Blue-screen? I didn't do that. Did you? We had a blue-screen, which is sometimes a green screen to me because I'm a blue-green colorblind. And some people don't even believe that exists, but I know it does. Because the blues and the greens can interact and interchange, and according to what the light is reflecting in any room or any place or outside or wherever, I see the right color or the wrong color. When I got the solid state thing, I had to get Word again. Now, you know, and you know, it's about time, I guess, I paid for something, because like you, right, like you, and I know you did, and from the beginning of time, which of course is when the interweb started, the beginning of time, you know, Word was always there somewhere. You always got, well, it was Word, it's there. You know, and this is a program that costs money. It's Microsoft Word, and Microsoft wants money, let's face it. They don't, you know, they're just gonna do this stuff for nothing. And yet there's so many times where everybody got, I don't ever remember paying for it, but now, I'm paying for not paying for it, because with the solid state, there was no Word. It's not part of the deal. And the person who gave me it and installed it into my tower did not shove in an illegal copy, because I don't, they have these things so protected anymore. So what happened? What happened is I went to a Best Buy and I said that to the geek, the kid, you know, geeks and, not all geeks are millennials, but not all millennials are geeks. That's the, saying. And I said, I need Word. And, you know, to buy Word is expensive to buy because it's part of Office, Microsoft Office, and you gotta pay more. Because they have all these other programs I don't use. I don't use P. I don't use Excel, P. I do use Outlook, of course. They give you, that's the, you know, your email thing. But I don't use this other stuff. And I said, I don't want to buy the whole thing. And they said, well, you could rent Word annually, which is yearly. Annually? Really? Yeah. You know, for only $69. And again, you think Microsoft would pay me and this could be a commercial? No, that's not going to happen. Grin and bear it. They said, you can, in fact, you have to rent it. You can't just buy Word. See, they got you. And got you coming and going. They got you by the cannolis. Not cannoli, wait, that's not it. Yeah, they said cannolis. Cannoli, that's the Italian pastry. They got you by the cajonis. Cajonis, I don't even know if that translated means testicles or balls, but they say that's cajonis. That's Spanish or Mexican and Mexican Spanish. Because it's different. Mexican Spanish and Spanish Spanish. Spain Spanish is different. Portugal Spanish is different because it's Portuguese. It's not Spanish, but it comes from Spanish and French. And it's a whole big mixed up thing. And that has nothing to do with Word. My point is that Microsoft Word, to get it alone, you have to rent it yearly, which is annually. And so these guys said, we're going to do it, you know. And, you know, so, you know, it's like $68, $69. And there's all sorts of tax for Word. Yeah, you know, I have to have it on this machine. I have two machines. I have to have it on this machine. But this other stuff I get with it, even though, as I said, you can get Word, but you know, Word's, just you get the Word alone, you have to buy Office, but Word comes with pieces of Office, that pinpoint, what's that called? Point preserve? Point, pin and point serve? You know, the thing where the slideshow crap? I don't use that junk. It's not junk, it's actually a very good program, and I'm sure people use it throughout the world and find it educational and a wonderful tool in this day and age. But they don't. I don't. I'm going to do a pinpoint. Is it called pinpoint? Something like that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to use that. And then Excel. I got to tell you, this has nothing to do with my age. This has nothing to do with being in my 60s, which of course you go, how is that possible? Listen to you. I know what you're thinking. You, and you know who you are there. So, I don't need this stuff. And Excel, I don't know, I just don't accumulate the kind of data that Excel requires to have Excel. Why? I don't do that. I don't do that in my life. Everything I do has the least common denominator approach. So I can do all my books, accounting books, in two columns, in one composition book. And you know what kind of composition book you do too, you do Mead. And you think they would pay me. You'd think Mead, of all the people I talk about, all the brands I talk about, you'd think Mead. Am I sound like I'm complaining? Because I don't know. It's just, it's true though. It's just true. I'm not going to stop doing anything because of it. I'm not going to badmouth these products either. I'm just going to tell you, you would think. This is how the world has changed. One way the world has changed. So I don't use Excel. I don't know what else I get. I guess it's Word, Excel, Pinpoint, or PowerPoint. No, PowerPoint. That's it. I finally got it. PowerPoint. Pressure point. It'd be a great name for get Microsoft on the phone. Who am I talking to? There's nobody here and there's no phone. Ay, ay, ay. I'm going to do some mind scam. Okay. Scandalous. No. I'm going to do mind. Word is opening. Office. Word. Opening in a what? This is a protected view. Listen to this. It opens, the file opens, and it says, and it's yellow, I think, it says, protected view. Be careful. Files from the internet can contain viruses, unless you need to edit. It's safer to stay in protected view. Through the years, Word just keeps adding features, right? And I never really learned to use Word in its full capacity, you know, with margins and things. I just know how to change fonts and everything. I'm going to keep it in protected mode. So you're protected. You're protected listening to this, okay? You are protected. One of my books, one that's available on at lulu.com, is called Skull and Roses. Skull and Roses, one of the three books over there, which I think you'll find funny. Why don't I use the word funny? You'll find amusing, literate, and unique. At least for today, you know. It was 1930, it wouldn't be unique. Well, there are some things in there that could not be published in 1930. Not because I wasn't here to write them. Okay. So the point is, the book is called Skull and Roses. You can get it for, I don't know, about, you know, something. I don't know, $1.80, $2.80. It's digital, and you can read it or what have you. There is a, in the essays that are in that book, essays, little stories, and various things, there's a two pages called Brain Scramblers. So if you want to read Brain Scramblers, it's in that book. Go buy it. Lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. 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 Yeah, can you hear that? Hear that? Breathing? It's breathing. The furnace is breathing. And thankfully, so am I. But Brain Scramblers are fun, and I think I'm not going to give you the answers. You're going to have to figure the answers out. I don't do it in the book either. Skull and Roses. But these are not from that book. These are new ones. Because I enjoy doing this to try to, And I sit with friends once in a while, take out my book, and they try to run away because they go, oh no, he's got his notebook again. Now he's going to tell us something. Oh gosh. Like, that's how I test things when it comes to humor and various other things. I need an opinion. I need rebounding, expression from other people. I need, advisors and consenters. Here's a brain scrambler. Now, at the beginning of the show, during the opening collage, you heard some brain games. I don't know what they call that. As I said, there's a show on that does that. And some of these things are tricky. My brain scramblers are a little bit more poetic than those things. You know, here's five numbers. What's the difference between this number, that number, and the other number? And somehow it's how it's, you know, how it's said. But there are these other ones, the ones like I have, which I took it from the classic brain scramblers, not the digital age brain scramblers, which aren't called brain scramblers. They're brain tricks, brain games, or I don't know, whatever. You know, I remember when big dinners, holiday dinners with my family, I remember was it pig's feet? They would serve all these things before the, there were many, many meals. I talked about it on many Thanksgiving shows. There were many courses to the meals with this big Italian family. And when they had the, I don't know what you would call it. That's the hors d'oeuvres, the hors d'oeuvres, you know, the, I don't know what, I forgot what it was called. Oh, the antipasta. Antipasto. And there would be all sorts of different little pink cheeses, and there would be celery, and there would be peppers. There'd be all those kind of things, you know, that weren't even side dishes. They were just little dishes, you know, things. Cocktail dishes, you know. And one of the things in there were pigs. Pigs were cut up by Italians, and they pork pigs were cut up by Italians. But it is, by the way, the name of my new book, which will be out next week. Pigs were cut up by Italians. And I remember my cousin Marion, may she rest in peace, would eat pig's feet. They were pink. whatever hair is on a pig, and I don't know what hair is on a pig. I don't know. I've never been so close to a pig as to distinguish whether it was, it had hair or no hair or whatever. But, it was smoothed out. It was cooked. It was boiled or something. Okay. There was nothing on it. It was just a pig's foot. You could see the toes, the pig's feet, pigs. And then there were pigs. I think there were pigs' brains. There was some kind of brains that people ate as, I mean, that's, and there weren't other people's brains. Okay. There weren't, just not Hannibal the Cannibal in the Hannibal movie. Remember when he eats Ray Liotta's brain? He eats pizzas of Ray Liotta's brain. So you, have you seen that movie? Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal the Cannibal eats, he cooks while the guy is awake, cooks pieces of his brain. Cause he knows the brain so well, he knows how to cut it up and how the person could still stay alive. Because he knows the simple things about the brain and complicated things about the brain. I only know simple things like the left side of the brain controls the right side of the body. The right side of the brain controls the left side of the body. Why? I don't know. And however that is balances, I don't know why either. Anyway, they used to eat brains. And of course, the most disgusting thing in the world is the, somewhere in the Middle East. No, in the Middle East. It was in the East, in the Orient. Somewhere in the Orient where they ate monkey brains right out of the monkey's head. In a table that was equipped so that the skull of the monkey could come through the table. I know I stray. I'm just trying to brain scramblers. This is now, it's now time for the nauseated portion of Cthulhu Chronicles, brought to you by Pig's Brain, Pig's Feet and Monkey Brains. Okay, so here's these are classic scramblers, and again, I said they're kind of poetic. I'm going to give you a little time. Because if you want to write them down, you can, and think about them later. If you get the answers, or whatever answers you get, please send them to fcatolo@yahoo.com. And I will send, if you send me the answers, whether you are correct or not, I will send you, and I will ask you personally for, I'll email you from that email. Tell you if whether you were right or wrong, and I'll send you a special Cthulhu Chronicles gift. Maybe it'll be, I'm not going to tell you what kind of gift or what that gift may be. Maybe it'll be Skull and Roses. Maybe something you could read on your little, on your smartphone. Some stories that I've written that, so you don't have to buy the book, or that, you know, one or two so that you could go and get the book, whatever. It's some kind of other promotional thing I'm doing that I'm just making this up as I go along. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Here are the brain scramblers I have. And then after this, we're going to go into the, I'm going to go to a special website. We're going to talk about the brain as this website doesn't, it's a good website. And I'm going to only promote it by reading it, going through it with you and tell you where it's located on your interweb. Here's brain scrambler number one. We do it by number, okay? So you don't have to go, here's number one. And then you write it down, write this down. Brain scrambler number one. I guess when I move, though I move so little, there's a spongy substance that controls my middle. No one knows how I breathe. No one knows how I see. No one knows when I leave from the top of a tree. What am I? One more time. Brain scrambler number one. I guess when I move, though I move so little, there's a spongy substance that controls my middle. No one knows how I breathe. No one knows how I see. No one knows when I leave from the top of a tree. What am I? Okay. His brain scratch. Now remember, these are new ones now. You want, there's other ones, but they're available in Skull and Roses at lulu.com. LULU.com. No, just once. LULU.com. LULU.com. It's like when they give a number and there's, here's a number. 800-555-6262. 800-555-6262. 800-555. They can see it 1,000 times. Here's Brain Scrambler number 2 from me, Frank Cotolo, here at Cotolo Chronicles. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. That's not the brain. Here's a short one. I'll say it twice. There's a heart like a wheel that my shell will conceal when I swim or dance on the streets of France. Who am I? There's a heart like a wheel that my shell will conceal when I swim or dance on the streets of France. Who am I? Okay, that's a who. The other one was a what. I think we have another what coming up, do we? Ding. Oh, we're still in protected view, so don't you worry. No, here's another who. I didn't give you time to write them down. I said it twice. Or maybe this, maybe they're really easy. Maybe they're so simple that you went, oh, okay, that's fun. Right? I muddled it, so I didn't give you the answer. And I'll go, okay. But you know, even, as I said, even if you're incorrect, I will send you something. I'll be in touch with you by email. You'll give me personal information. I will not divulge it or give it out to anyone because I have no reason to do that. I don't even have any reason to talk to you other than that, you know, in the show, right? Well, you're right. So I'm not looking, I don't sell your name to anybody because, like I said, nobody pays me to do this or they're not going to pay me for names either. Here's the next one. It's another who am I? Every moment is at risk when I am subjected to chance. I screwed that up. Here we go again. Every moment is at risk when I am subjected to chance, but my movements are brisk even without my pants. I can lift a train without a strain and be home for dinner on time. Who am I? Now, of course, this is not necessarily a celebrity or a name that everyone knows or someone in history or a figure of your imagination. It could be a profession, you know. Maybe that's a guy who makes thumbtacks. See, a thumbtack maker, a shoemaker, a carpenter, a doctor, a lawyer. A message coming in at the very time. I wonder if somebody's, you think somebody might have, no, I don't think anybody knows my personal one here. No, it's nothing. That's nothing. Of course it's something. It's not nothing. It's nothing that you need to know. I don't even need to know it. Here. Let me do that one again. It's another who am I? Every moment is at risk when I am subjected to chance, but my movements are brisk even without my pants. I can lift a train without a strain and be home for dinner on time. Who am I? I know who I am. I'm the vegetable man. I am the bard of the interweb. By the way, I am not the answer to any of these. But these are supposed to scramble your brain. So you're supposed to picture certain things in your head because you can do that. Because our brains do that. Okay. We have another one? Yes, we do. So what am I? You want another what am I? Here's another what am I. I'll say it twice so you could write it down or you could write to me. You know, that's the other thing. If you write to me ahead of time and say, you know, I wasn't able to write all those down quickly. Can you send me them, email them to me? I will do that. I'll email you a Word file. It will be protected. It will not have any viruses or links or things on it. And you can read it, think it over. If you want to play this game, you don't want to play this game, don't get involved. Don't send me anything relating to this. But we're going to go into the brain. And you may, I'm doing this first because once we start talking more about the brain, you may go, you know, I'm sorry I didn't write down those brain scramblers. And what was the name of that book again? from that guy on the interweb. Here's a what am I. In a driving rain or a falling snow, I have nowhere safe to go. I wear a mask for every task, but sink in water pretty damned fast. What am I? Again. In a driving rain or a falling snow, I have nowhere safe to go. I wear a mask for every task, but sink in water pretty damned fast. What am I? You know something? I gotta get Michael Maskin. What the frick? Michael Laskin back on. How about I read? Yeah. You want to write something? How about how I delivered that poetic brain scrambler? Huh? I really acted that. In a driving rain or a falling snow, I have nowhere safe to go. I wear a mask for every task, but sink in water pretty damned fast. What am I? Said that one three times. Again. fcatolo@yahoo.com. How many more do we have? One. Two. No, one. One more. I thought two because it changed the page. You know, what does that on Word? Uh-oh. How am I going to do this? You know what? Oh, I can't edit because I'm in protected view. You're protected too, even though there is no view. Here we go. I'll be able to do this one. This is a who am I again. You cannot touch me without feeling pain. I'm one of a kind, but very much the same. I have a hole like a donut and one hanging low nut. Who am I? A little humor there. That again. You cannot touch me without feeling pain. I'm one of a kind, but very much the same. I have a hole like a donut and one hanging low nut. Who am I? Those are your brain scramblers. Frank Cotolo brain scramblers. There are different, fresh, and just as entertaining and quizzical brain scramblers in the book Skull and Roses. I very rarely promote or advertise that book. I tell you that I have books on YouTube. Videos on YouTube, but they're not going there. I tell you that I have books on Lulu, LULU.com, LULU.com. And these books, you could buy them. They're not that expensive, even if you buy the hard copy, the actual books. And then the virtual books, you can get them there too. I should put more on there, and I might. But that's a long story. Why or why not? You can also go to Amazon. There's no brain scramblers on Amazon, but it does make you wonder, isn't it? Those are brain scramblers. The book is Skull and Roses. There are other contents in there you will like, and there's some you'll dislike. And you know what? You might dislike the whole thing. You might go, what's with this guy? But if you're listening to me and you get what's going on here, again, it's a unique corner of pop culture and social significance in which I perform as I do here, unrehearsed and yet prepared. So here am I, Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. A lot of you who, I'm not even going to tell you about what's happening this weekend, because if you're listening to this after the weekend that's coming, because this is live, unless it's lifelike. If you're listening to it lifelike, you're going to go, hey, well, I already did that. But it is the end of daylight savings time. And that means most of the country, most of the continent, that being the North America continent, will be doing a weird thing with its time, with its clocks. Manipulating time so that this is how man deals with nature. Man has to deal with nature he can't change nature. You can ruin it, but he can't change it. He can only harness stuff from it. So when something comes up like like, well, I want it to be darker. It does, you know, it naturally gets darker because in the winter season, it will get darker because the earth is farther from the sun in the winter. You know that. You learn that in eighth grade, sixth grade. What's my point? We have to manipulate our own measuring machines. That's what a clock is, a measuring machine. It measures time so that we can distinguish certain occurrences and have a mathematically organized sense of certain things we do, sleep, eat. So we need time. We can't just say, that's, you know, the sun looks like it's way up top, so let's lunch. You know, we don't do that. That was done by our ancestors and those people who were what? They were, what were they? Cavemen? Oh, by the way, that reminds me. Something I really like to do now, because I don't do a lot of, you know where you can go from my blogs. Of course, 148.ca/Frank. Every week, a new little essay, and that's free. You don't even have to, you know, download, go to any other place except there and read it and what have you. You don't have to download it, put it on your phone. Well, you could probably get an app and see us, 148.ca on your phone. I will find out about that. Anywhere else. The point being, you can go there to one, but there's a place, as you know, if you've listened to this before, because you know I've been associated with For Culture, F-O-U-R, Culture, the online magazine, which is the brink of technology, the edge cutting. It's an edge cutting. That's what it is. Instead of a cutting edge, it's an edge cutting website. And I have a column there now once a month called The Rocket Science. That's the name of the column by me, Frank Atolo. Why did I bring that up? I brought that up because the new one is out there. I said the generations pass. I was talking about generations. The new one is out there. It's one of my many voices, and it's a voice that I have not truly used in the past. So you can get it there. It's in the words section. Of course, word just keeps coming. The word keeps coming up constantly here. I'm going to shortly take a break, and then we're going to, when we come back, I'm going to take a little break so you can go over to the bathroom and do whatever it is you need to do. And then I'm going to come back here. You're going to come back. You don't have to leave. It's not like you have to leave. I'm just saying, if you have to go to the bathroom or you want to go fill up your body liquids, or you want to get a drink, you want to get something to chew on, you know, a little snack, you can then hear the second part of the show. And if you're listening lifelike, what can you do? You could stop. You could actually press pause or stop, but just stop and then continue later. See, I didn't say continue on because that's repetitive. That phrase, now people are saying continue on. Continue on. Well, let's not even go there. That whole thing is nuts. We should start advertising the fake Wolfman Jack Christmas album. Put that together. I bet you we could sell some of those. If we did it now, we'll do that, and we'll do another thing here so that we give you enough time what do you do? Dispose of some bodily waste and at the same time do what? Is there anything else here I could promote within the realm of public relations or public relations? No. And public service, I should have said. You know what I do? I have this other thing here. Where is that? I'm looking now through my, thing. Where is it on? It's in that. Promos? No. Won't play any ad breaks? Here, ad breaks. What the heck is this? That's not what I wanted. I wanted some of those old ones. Do I have that here? Promos? Where is that? Yeah, here's promos. There's stuff here for other books I have. What is all this stuff? I don't even know. Martha Stewart. What the hell's going on? Ladies and germs. All right, it's going to be time for Juice Talk. Here's a Juice Talk promo. Oh, I don't know. Let's forget about it. We'll just run this thing. And then we'll come back. We'll come back. I'm going to physically leave my chair so I could go dispose of some bodily waste, as you should do too. Then come back. It's Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Now this time we'll be back.
Now, for the first and last time anywhere, it's the Wolfman Jack Christmas album. That's right, the master of Merry Muses himself, and a collection of his all-time favorite Christmas sayings. No music, no atmosphere of Yuletide fun, just the jolly old Wolfman himself. You'll hear him say,
Noel.
And?
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la.
It's a treasure for any collector of Christmas vinyl. You even get his merry old laugh, often mistaken for that of Santa Claus. And if you act now, we'll send you absolutely free another album called Wolfman Jack Trimming His Christmas Tree. It features 567 great sounds as the Wolfman puts all sorts of trimmings on his 40-foot evergreen.
Little tree here, little tree here, putting more balls on the tree.
Yes, you'll even hear him fall as he tries to put the top piece on. Order now. Here's how to order. Just leave $22.95 in cash under an oak tree with a dog marked I want the Wolfman stuff and return in 3 days. That's the Wolfman Jack Christmas album. $43.88 cassettes, $55.50. Act now.
All right. Yes, indeed.
Boy, I'm telling you, life is strange. This, you know, no matter how people try to make it. I'm not going to judge other people. I'm going to talk about our brains. How we use them is another story, but we all have one or we wouldn't be here. Uh-oh. Did I just open the wrong thing? Oh, yes, I did. It's already here. It's here somehow. Here we go. Ta-da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to move this. All right, here you go. You know, I got these Windows things going on. There's a website, and this is the website that I chose because I found it on one of my many daily subscribing things. I get stuff on the internet. Don't you? I get stuff. I get, I get a free word, free dictionary. I can learn new words, and I get a newspaper, like a San Diego newspaper, news, and this is called the best brain possible. I will give you, because I'm giving it a plug and I talk about it. I'll give you the, that's it. It's www. I don't know why I do that anymore. Everyone knows that you don't have to say www anymore. One, without spaces, of course. I mean, I hate to tell you this. You know this stuff. I don't know what. You go to thebestbrainpossible.com. Thebestbrainpossible.com. No underscores. That's one long word. Thebestbrainpossible.com. And you get a information and inspiration for anyone with a brain. That's cute. Isn't that cute? That cute? That's cute. Yeah, I thought to play that old, that relic of a comedy spot there from, well, that goes back to the 80s, a whole Wolfman Jack show. And because I'm going, hey, you know, it's getting darker earlier. The days are shorter. Let's just say that. The days are shorter. And here comes what? Thanksgiving. And usually on the Thursday is always a Thanksgiving. I'm always here that night. So digest your food with me, Frank Catolo. All things being equal, I will do the Thanksgiving evening Thursday. I will be here. And regardless, sometimes even when I'm sick, I'm here. But anyway, here. Thoughts change your brain, cells, and genes. Thoughts change your brain, cells, and genes, according to this. Now, it says on the homepage, the best brain possible with Debbie Hampton. I don't know Debbie. I wrote to her and said, come on the show, man. I haven't gotten back to me because I found out too late. I'm not, you know, I don't let you know. You know how I do this. I'm going to read some of this stuff and then we're going to, I'm going to talk to about it. And as I read it, because I haven't, like I said, I found the website. And I didn't do anything about it, but I do want to talk about our brain because this is fascinating to me. Here we go. Every a minute. Oh, wait, there's a test here? Oh, I'm not going to, because you have to see that. It's a visual. You go look for it. Here's what it says on the homepage. Every minute of every day. This is not a scrambler. this is text from the website, thebestbrainpossible.com. Every minute of every day, your body is physically reacting, literally changing in response to the thoughts that run through your mind. It's been proven over and over again that just thinking about something causes your brain to release neurotransmitters. Neurotransmitters. These are chemical messengers that allow it to communicate with parts of itself and your nervous system. Neurotransmitters, of course, have a lot to do with medicines and drugs that get to your, that's like dopamine, which release the dopamine and send signals. And you could fool your own brain. But anyway, here. In this event, chemical messengers that allow it to communicate with parts of itself and your nervous system. Neurotransmitters control virtually all of your body's functions, from hormones to digestion to feeling happy, sad, or stressed. Studies have shown that thoughts alone can improve vision, fitness, and strength. The placebo effect, as observed with fake operations and sham drugs, for example, works because of the power of thought. Okay, wait a second. Let's stop right here. I have no idea from what school of thought. And if you want to say this particular website is originating. I don't know if this comes from some new age super thing like, you know, think and you'll be happy, you know, whatever. But I understand the truth behind feeding your brain. Feed your head. Remember that? Feed your head. I understand the concept. So I will not judge, but I mean, I'll tell you what I think as I think. See, there you go. Again, as we go along here. But thoughts, studies, and she does not. She, I'm saying, no, the website, I shouldn't say she, just because it has with Dorothy Parker, not Dorothy Parker, Dorothy, whatever her name is, not even Dorothy, it's Debbie Hampton, not even that here. She doesn't tell us the sort of thoughts. But anyway, let's go back to this and let's just go through this and we'll find our own way through it. as observed, that works, what works, the placebo effect works because of the power of thought. Expectancies and learned associations have been shown to change brain chemistry and circuitry, which results in real psychological and cognitive outcomes, such as less fatigue, lower immune system reaction, elevated hormone levels, and reduced anxiety. Okay, okay. Now it's me now. It's okay. Then, you know, this is what I'm saying about this being a spinoff from feelings to fine reality. So feelings are emotions, thoughts, thoughts. So I'd buy that, and you can buy it too. The intention experiment, using your thoughts to change your life and your world. Lynn Taggart, whoever the hell Lynn Taggart may be, writes this. A sizable body of research exploring the nature of consciousness, carried on for more than 30 years in prestigious scientific institutions around the world, shows that thoughts are capable of affecting everything from the simplest machines to the most complex living beings. This evidence suggests that human thoughts and intentions are an actual physical, quote, something, unquote, with astonishing power to change our world. Every thought we have is tangible energy with the power to transform. There's more. It goes on, whoever this person may be. And again, I don't, it's not enough to just say, I'd like to know where these experiments are going on. It's always easy to write something and say, a sizable body of research exploring the nature of, carried on for 30 years around the world. I could have told you, I could have written that, I could have change that, and you wouldn't know the difference. I could have said, a great amount of research exploring the nature of consciousness carried on for more than 200 years in specific and well-known, renowned scientific institutions around the world shows, you wouldn't know if I was telling you the truth or not. I didn't say specifically. The University of Oklahoma says, Oklahoma, where the wind comes. Okay, it doesn't. See, that would be specific. Read more. I don't want to read more. Your thoughts, skulls. Anyway, that's Lynn Taggart. I'm supposed to know who is Lynn? Who is she? Why did they do this? Mick Taggart, by the way. Oh, Mick Taggart, Mick Taggart, Mick Bally, I'm Golly, and Lolly, and Bolly, and Mabrick, and Rolly, oh, Rolly, I'm Molly, I'm not. Your thoughts sculpt your brain. My brain is working as we do this, I'm in my mode. I'm in my mode, not in the zone, in my zone. So I'm zoneless. I realize that. Then someone said, hey, you were in the zone. My writing agent told me, he said, sounds like, you were busy writing and you couldn't stop. Sounds like you were in the zone. I guess people are saying that. And that's what it is. I'm zoneless. I'm zoneless. There's no zone. They're euphemisms and metaphors and allophores and allegories and metagories and whatever. So this says, now let's move on here and see if every thought you have causes neurochemical changes. Okay? Some are temporary and some are lasting. For instance, here's an example. When people consciously practice gratitude, they get a surge of rewarding neurotransmitters like dopamine. Didn't I tell you about dopamine? I told you even before I even read this, right? See? I am in the zone. Now I'm talking again. Once again, I am cooking with non-preparation. When people consciously practice gratitude, they get a surge of rewarding neurotransmitters like dopamine and experience a general alerting and brightening of the mind, probably correlated with more of the neurochemical norepinephrine. What word is that? Norepinephrine. Never heard of that. Am I supposed to know what that means? Do I have to look it up now? You look it up later. Don't forget, that's why I'm telling you to write this down. You got your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook? I have to tell you all the time? Take it out. Write in it. I'll spell this for you. You know how to spell neurochemical. That's easy. But listen to this one. This is new on me. N-O-R-E-P-I-N-E-P-H-R-I-N-E. I know a lot of words and I know a lot of meanings, but I don't know that one. here's a study she's gonna, that someone is the whoever wrote this copy on the best brain possible. In one study, college students deeply in love were shown pictures of their sweeties and their brains become more active in the caudate nucleus. The caudate nucleus, that's C-A-U-D-A-T-E, caudate or caudate nucleus. That's a reward center. Your brain has a reward center. And it gives them, when that becomes active, the caudate nucleus becomes active. It gave those people who, the kids who saw their kids, I don't know if they were kids, those people who saw their loved ones, sweeties. It gave them that in love swoon. You know that feeling people get, that chemical thing, you know? Chaos. As J. F. Peck. S. Scott Peck. J. Scott F. Scott Peck. Is that his name? I forgot his name already. I'm getting bad with that stuff. F. Scott Peck? Oh, well, talked about chaos. You had that feeling. When they stopped looking at the pictures of their loved ones, their reward centers went back to sleep. So the reward center of the brain comes out when it is stimulated. In this case, and individually, here's someone you say you love, or you know you love, or you feel you love. You feel. It doesn't, you know, there's nothing to do with understanding or knowledge. You feel it. You feel it. It comes alive. I guess it's like when you're hungry and you look at a big baked chicken. Well, or whatever it is that makes you go, yikes, do I want to eat that because I'm so hungry. Your brain is going, do you want to be rewarded? You want this feeling of hunger to leave? Reward it. But, you know, it doesn't matter, rewarding. No, what happens is it says, oh, you fall in love, in a sense, with that particular thing because of the sight of it. When it wasn't there, maybe you were thinking of something, or you weren't thinking. You just, I'm hungry. Do I sound like I know? Because I have my own, I've read a lot about the brain, and I've talked a lot about the brain. And some people don't even think I have one, a usable brain, but I'm very in touch with what's going on here. So anyway. What flows through your mind also sculpts your brain in permanent ways. Ah, here we go. Here's those implants. Here's those impressions that either ruin us or send us off on a trail of productivity and satisfaction. Think of your mind as the movement of information through your nervous system, which on a physical level is all the electrical signals running back and forth, most of which is happening below your conscious awareness. As a thought travels through your brain, neurons fire. They fire together in distinctive ways based on the specific information being handled. And those patterns of neural activity actually change your neural structure. Thoughts change your brain. I know the neurons, they're always going. I don't know if that's a sound, I'll be honest with you, okay? I don't want you to think that I've heard these things, okay? I'm affected by them because I know. I know it's working, I know it's happening, I know these things are firing. When you say firing, you know, you think of guns or whatever. Here's another example, according to thebestbrainpossible.com. One example of this. Oh, wait a second. Busy regions of the brain start making new connections with each other, and existing synapses, the connections between neurons, that's what synapses are, the connections between the neurons that are exchanging fires. that experience more activity. They get stronger, increasingly sensitive, and start building more receptors. New synapses are also formed. This is a plexus of neurons and synapses and synons and neurapses. Don't Don't, that's wrong. Don't write that one down. I just did that little word thing. One example of this is the well-known London cab driver studies. Oh, yeah, sure. Well-known. We all know it. Why should I even talk about it? Let's move on. No, we don't know that. Let's talk about it right now. The London cab driver studies. They showed that the longer somebody had been driving a taxi, the larger their hippocampus, which is a part of the brain involved in visual spatial memory. In other words, the longer someone had been driving a taxi, the larger was their hippocampus. Hippocampus, it's not a college for hippopotamuses, the hippocampus. No, no. You see, that was a synapse. Something was working in my mind. That's the way my mind works. It said, it saw hippocampus. And in my brain, it said hippo. Hippo as in hippopotamus, campus as in college. College is what I never think of, like in a high school campus, but it's college. And it said, they sent the synapses out. It went into my files of my unconscious or whatever, and it went bing, bing. The hippocampus is a part of the brain involved in visual spatial memory. Visual spatial memory. Taxi cabs. Visual spatial memory. That must have to do with driving a car around. Not necessarily just a taxi, right? But they did it. Their brains, London taxi cab drivers were the center of this study. Their brains literally expanded to accommodate the cognitive demands of navigating London's tangle of streets. Tangle of streets. And now, another episode in Tangle of Streets. Supposed to be a big organ. The pipe organ. It didn't work, did it? I cannot imitate a pipe organ. See, my mind is working as you would read this, and totally different things would be crossing your mind. Totally different thoughts, everything that was going on. When I'm doing this show, I would imagine I have a thunderous number of neurons and synapses going to, it's just so complicated. It's such a plexus. I love that word. I'll use it again. Such a plexus of neurons and connections and thoughts. It's just wild. And I always make that a personified example of having saloon doors that separate my consciousness from my subconsciousness. Saloon doors, of course, can be easily open. Things can easily get through it. They just swing open. You know, I've seen them at saloons. And saloons, you've seen them in cowboy movies, what have you. And they say squeak if they're not oiled, like all hinges will do. And I always use that metaphor. It's like these things come from out of my subconscious and sneak through. They don't ordinarily do that. Your subconscious is not your conscious. Subconscious is your conscious, but when it's asleep, when you're asleep. I think the word subconscious came from the whole Freud thing. So there are things back there that are working that are not on the surface. So that's why I said, you know, I got this connection on my subconscious. It's coming. And I think they're coming up on a lot of people, these things, these thoughts. But I did that to show, anyway, what they were talking about. Anyway, but does my brain literally expand? I hope not, because that means it's going to walk around. Does your head get bigger? If your brain expanded, it probably expands at a non-dangerous size. But think about this. If your brain expands, your skull doesn't. So what's going to happen? This is just common sense, which comes from the brain, right? The brain gets bigger, but the skull doesn't. Isn't it going to go against the skull? Isn't that going to be a health problem? Anyway, they claim here the London cab driver's brains actually expanded and accommodated the cognitive demands of navigating London's tangle of streets. Tangle of streets. Gosh, Dave, those. We always go down the Mews. You can't get the taxi cab down there. What's that knife you have? No, no, don't do it. The knife shoots things. What was that? I was trying to like the sound of a knife going into a man's chest or body. It doesn't sound like that. Okay, move on. I got a shooting knife. Anyway, it says here that the brains literally expanded. Okay. Research has also proven the numerous benefits of meditation for your brain and shown that meditation produces measurable results from changes in gray matter volume to reduced activity in the me centers of the brain to enhance connect. Oh, that, I don't like that sentence. I can't, too many points to stop and try to think of it. Anyway, meditation's good. Your thoughts program your cells, according to this. You know, it's as many pages, this website, so obviously when you want to look into it, go do that later. Right now, listen to as far as I go here on this show. And let me stop here for a moment before our last half hour for this particular show and tell you that we don't know what's happening next week. We could have guests, and then Charles Dennis may come back with more. He's doing a lot. He's got a heavy shooting schedule. And I'm still trying to get Kenneth Welsh and a couple of other fine actors to talk about things on Cthulhu Chronicles. CthulhuChronicles.blogspot.com is where you can find out what show's going on. And, of course, that is a link to my Facebook page, something I had well before people on television who were saying, don't forget to like me on Facebook. You always could. I was there so long, you know. You didn't want to come then later, did you? A thought is an electrochemical event. Here's the definition of a thought. A thought is an electrochemical event taking place in your nerve cells, producing a cascade of psychological changes. I love that sentence. Now, that sentence I like so much. It almost sounds like a brain scan. Doesn't that sound like a brain scrambler? I'm an electrochemical event that takes place in your nerve cells. I produce a cascade of psychological changes in your brain. What am I? Well, you're a thought. That's right. See? That sounds a brain scrambler. It was a thought. A thought was a brain scrambler. I mean, it's, okay. Who wrote this? Here's another quote. Oh, now we don't even know what this is. Oh, there are thousands upon thousands of receptors on each cell. Each cell. Now, a cell is really, I mean, this is like, we're talking quantum size here. And there are thousands upon thousands of receptors on each cell in our body. Each receptor is specific to one peptide. A peptide, I happen to know what is a peptide. It's protein. But if you ask me to describe a protein, I'll say, meat. Red meat, it has protein in it, but it's not protein. So anyway, when we have feelings of anger, sadness, guilt, excitement, happiness, or nervousness, each separate emotion releases its own flurry of neuropeptides. Neuropeptides, how they hurt you, how they, I say I was trying to immediately, neuropeptides, how they wander when you're sad or feeling guilt at night, when your anger makes you feel not right or nervous too. I was singing a song, the lyrics I made up immediately called Neuropeptides. It was sung to the tune of Johnny Angel by Nanette. No, it wasn't Nanette Fabre. That was her aunt. By Shelley Fabre. Yeah, see, I remembered that. Weird. See, it came from my subconscious. It remembered peptide. Remember, you know, that sounds like a great instrumental name, right? The Ventures. And by the way, we got to get Stacey Wilson on again. The Ventures. The Ventures or how about Low Straitjackets? I love them. They should do an instrumental. I'll have to write it and send it to them. And I wouldn't do that. I would let them pay me to write it first or commission me as the case may be. I'm going to write something and send it to them. Say, yeah, do this. Then I'm going to do it. World doesn't work like that. But peptide is a great name for an instrumental with guitars, right? A guitar instrumental. Peptide. I'm just starting to write it now. You hear it? That's the guitar twang. Peptide. Anyway, here's what peptides do. They surge through the body and connect with the receptors, which change the structure of each cell as a whole. So structure may look like a triangle. Here comes the peptides. And maybe that's it. There's a movie. Here come the peptides. Bom, 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 bom. They swarmed over the bodies. Oh, I'm sorry. Why am I apologizing to the microphone? What kind of an idiot does that? Kind of a bonehead. Where are we? We're a peptide. You see how this is what happens to me when I just let myself go. Now, and I don't know why my peptides, neurotransmitters, or what have you, want to always frolic. That's what they want to do. They want to frolic. So they have a difficult time staying in a direction that they can do it, though. They have done it. Sometimes they parade their images and their words so specifically and so correctly that I just admire them. And the admiration, of course, gets my neurons and my neurotransmitters going. And the next thing you know, there's an antenna coming out of my ear. Something like that. If you've been bombarding your cells with peptides, I just love language. Doctor, what's wrong? I think he bombarded his cells with peptides and he kind of spilled over. See, there it goes again. What is going on with my neurotransmitters, my peptides, and my synapses? If you've been bombarding your cells with peptides from negative thoughts, you are literally programming your cells to receive more of the same negative peptides in the future. Now, remember this. Your cells and all of these neurons, they don't have the definitions, and they don't of things like sadness bad, happiness good. They don't care. They don't have a system on their own which has empathy, sympathy, or any definition of those feelings and how they affect you. All these things do in your brain is transmit. They take the feelings, they define them, they shove them off to another part. The cell changes. They're not judgment. Don't judge it. They're not looking for these. They're not going, oh no, here comes on. Imagine. This doesn't happen. Okay, here's what doesn't happen. I know this. I don't have to have a study. I don't have to have London cab drivers. I don't have to have anybody to tell me this. Here's what happens. But here's what doesn't happen. Here's what does not happen. The receptors are waiting, let's say, the synapse has been created and a negative feeling is coming. And let's say sadness. The receptors don't sit there and judge. They don't go, oh no, oh, oh damn, here comes another negative receptor. Oh, in other words, they don't have the feelings that they are working with in your brain. They adjust like a telegraph. And I know that sounds like, you know, really old, because the telegraph, you know, one of those old telegraph machines, they didn't go, well, I don't like this word, use this word. They were just trying to use short words because it cost by the word or something, right? And there's no judgment in the machine. The machine of the neuron and the receptor, they don't sit there. Or if they sit, or whatever they do, float in your brain. Do they float? Do they hang? I don't know what they do. But they don't sit there and go, oh no, this is the 16th consecutive negative feeling. They don't, they just go, negative? How do you process it? And then they do whatever they have to do. Say. They just perform. They don't care. They go, you know, this, if only he would send, and they can't provoke you. Like they see, cause they don't like or dislike anything. They just do their job. See, so they can't provoke you to do something positive because the negative thing is affecting your other life. I don't care about your lifestyle. There's no care. Whatever care means, look it up. They don't do that. So you bombard yourselves with peptides from negative thoughts, okay? Then it's just going to go. The cell is going to go. In fact, maybe this is like drugs. The cell's going to go, I'm going to get these negative ones. I'll get the negative peptides over here. I'm now shaped for it because it reshaped itself. Give me the negative peptides. Give me the negative peptides. Give me the negative peptides. And it just says it until he gets it, and that's it. That's what this is saying. What's even worse, says this, is that you're lessening the number of receptors of positive peptides on the cells and making yourself more inclined toward negativity. So if you have in other words, it's what it's saying. What this is saying, I don't know if this is true. I know what doesn't happen, but I don't know about this. If you're the more negative coming in, and that's, you see, here's what I don't like about this. It's, you know, it's subjective what's negative. I mean, there's only a certain amount of things that are, you know, and what is positive. See, that's why I think this has an undercurrent of new age sunshine pumpers. I don't think you'll find that particular nomenclature anywhere, but I have said it. In other words, it's not telling you to do something. It's telling you how things work, but I got a feeling, and this is just a feeling, which of course is going to hit my neurotransmitter and is creating a peptide. That's a bad melody. I gotta find a good melody for peptide. Let me write this down because I am going to do this even just for my own amusement. Peptide. I'm going to come up. Maybe Tom Savino will help me. I know he's on, Savino Veritas in just a couple of minutes. And by a couple, I mean 20 something. And, peptide, we need to come up. If you're listening, Tom, because he's getting ready to do his show, I'm going to hand it over to him when it's time. Peptide, instrument, guitar, instrumental. Instrumental. I'm writing this down because I'm going to come up with, just for my own entertainment. And I'll send a wave file or an over to Tom Savino, and he'll magically transform it into something because he does the technical stuff now very well. Every cell in your body is replaced about every 2 months. Did you know that? Well, that's got to be. I mean, that, I guess you could look easily confirm. So the good news is this. You can reprogram your pessimistic cells to be more optimistic by adopting positive thinking practices like mindfulness and gratitude for permanent results. Now, and this is a very noble suggestion, and that people want you to be happy, you know, but it doesn't get into it. See, here's where I part ways. That's the phrase, right? Here's where I part ways. Here's where I don't like. I don't know how to exactly say this off the top of my head, and it's all I have. It's the top of my head. My neurons, my peptides. This is where I part ways with this. With the general sense of this website, which is saying, think positive and always be positive. Now, this is going to be, this electronic stuff that's going on in your brain is possible. But I think the bad part about this, and I don't know what to call this, but I guess it goes back to Zen Buddhism and the forces of the world and the universe. And that's this. It's like, you don't want, if you only have super positive, this is why I want to talk to whoever, I'm going to talk to somebody who does this. Or we have to get that Diane Collins on again. She does all that positive stuff. Okay. I want to talk. There's a balance is what I'm saying. This does not talk about the balance. See, now you don't want to bombard yourself with negative down, you know, black thoughts and horrible things that make you feel bad and get your peptides all screwed up and your cells changing Well, it only happens for 2 months, it says. Then it changes, then it regenerates, I guess. I don't know. I'm not learning a lot here. I'm not learning a lot. But I'm now a little suspicious about this website. And a lot of this physical stuff may be perfectly true. I have to go back. We did this great show on brains once, and I was going to go back. The poor doctor, who wrote this book, and, see, somewhere here I have this, information. And it really explained a lot more, let's say, objectively. Yeah, no, I can't find it. Why look for it now? Huh? I'm the bard of the interweb, and I'm wasting time. I want to see if this thing talks about positive, about balance of positive and negative, which you have to have, and understand to be able to tolerate. Because you can't, if you made all these brain cells, all these peptides, and if the peptides and the neurotransmitters sent only positive stuff, let's say that. Let's say you consciously dismissed all the negative things, and your cells were changing all to positive, right? You may get too positive. If you get too, there's such a thing as too positive, all right? If you get too positive, then you may think you can do things you can't do. You know, when you talk about how LSD affected the brain by going to wherever it went and creating images, you could be feeling great, although there are such a thing as bad trips, there were. But, it gets into the brain, and times when it made you feel great, it would fool. It wasn't fooling, okay? The peptides, it's a funny word, I can't help it. The peptides, the neurons, the neuron transmitters, the dopamine, all that stuff, synapses, it was getting all this stuff, and let's say it was making the cells start to feel good. You feel good, you feel great, but you know what? It fooled those things, and this is why I'm telling you, those little particles we're talking about do not care. They're not there to care. So, when somebody got too positive, as they could have done with LSD, and sometimes people could do with anything that makes you really high and bombards your brain poor dopamine. Maybe, too much dopamine. And let's face it, people can get so positive and wonderful through stimulation, even though that's chemical situation, right? That they can manipulate you to die. It's not like, right? It's not like a dream. You can't die in a dream. You can't, if you're falling in a dream, it means something, but you never hit the ground. You don't die in a dream. If you die in a dream, you're dead. How do I know that? Because no one's ever talked about dying in a dream. Because if you die in a dream, you're dead. So if you think you died in a dream, you didn't. Because you'd be dead. And you wouldn't be there to say, I died in my dream. So you could be too positive and think it could be bad. Because you would think you could do something. And I go back to the example of LSD where it's manipulating the synapses. It's manipulating everything. It's fooling them. And you think you're so good and you could think you're so good, so positive, so powerful, I could fly. And people have done this. I could fly. I'm so positive. I'm so more than human. I'm bigger than life. I'm larger than life. I'm larger than bigger. I'm bigger than larger. Here I go. And they jump off a roof. And, and your brain's not going, don't jump off that roof. You're positive, schmositive. You can't fly. It doesn't tell you. It doesn't advise you. It doesn't do anything. It just saying you're feeling good. And as you leave the roof, because you think you could fly, because you feel so positive that you could fly, as you leave, you don't realize that you're not flying. You may even think you're flying. And then you hit the ground and that's that. Am I being fair to this website? Because I'll move on. I'm just saying that there are these things in here that lead me to think that there's an undercurrent. Epigenetics. Let's talk about epigenetics. Your thoughts activate your genes. I know thoughts that have activated my genes. Ba-da-bam. I don't have little sound effects. So I had to do the rim shot myself. I don't know which one sounds better. Epigenetics. It's a fast growing field. Epigenetics. And in this field, says this website, it's proving that who you are is the product of the things that happen to you in your life, which change the way your genes operate. Okay, this gets, I mean, Freud was not talking about epigenetics. You know, you're talking about things that, feelings or, of the stuff that you get, as we talked last week, feelings define reality, as Dr. Reese talked about last week. And what's going in there before you're able to express yourself, when you're young, between birth and 5 years old. These things that are going in there aren't all positive and negative. You're learning things without the tool of expression, of understanding, and of knowledge. That also affects you later on in your behavior. And it affects how you see what comes in that's negative and what comes in that's positive, says I. Genes are actually switched on or off depending on your life experiences. Uh-oh. I don't know about this. And genes are actually just a... And your genes and lifestyle form a feedback loop. It's a feedback loop. It's a feedback loop. It's a feedback loop. It's a feedback loop. Yeah, see what I did there? Your life doesn't alter the genes you were born with. And by the way, that's a sentence that ends with "with," and it shouldn't. What changes is your genetic activity, meaning the hundreds of proteins, enzymes, and other chemicals that regulate your cells. I have no idea if that's true. I don't know if epigenetics is sanctioned by the Gene Studies of America. Genes. They're in my head. That was really an in-joke, and I'm sorry if you didn't get it. So now this thing is bothering me, this website. I'm going to move ahead here and see what... Use your thoughts for you. You see what it's doing? It's not dealing with what we know and often talk about on this show and what experts... in the fields, come on and talk about it. But anyway, let's see. Get the best brain and life info delivered to your mailbox. Oh, your inbox. Now, what's this? Related posts, habits. Eight easy habits that will improve your brain. Let's go straight to that in the waning moments and see what 8 easy habits that will rapidly improve your brain. So we're saying, and if you're going to improve your brain, that means your brain is not working well enough. We're going to make it better. It's not good enough. Your brain is not good enough. Here's 8 easy habits. We'll go very simple. I don't know anyone who doesn't want to improve their brain health. Okay, fine. What do you do about it? Here we go. Number 1, get more sleep. That makes sense. We're going to do the 8. In 10 minutes, we're going to hit the theme. And Mr. Tom Savino is going to come on with Savino Veritas. See, here's my fake echo. Number 1, improve your brain, get more sleep. Sleep is one of the most powerful influencers of overall health. I'll buy that. In fact, skimping on sleep can make you sick, fat, and stupid. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for them. The trio that is now sweeping America. Here they are, sick, fat, and stupid. Peptide could also be an action series on TV. Johnny Peptide. I like that one. It's got to be Johnny, right? I'm going to use that. Maybe there's another. It wasn't enough to do... my thoughts get ahead of thoughts. Some thoughts get ahead of the thoughts that are there that don't have time to get out, and the thought behind it takes the lead. Okay, we know about sleep. Okay, sufficient sleep helps focus and improves memory and productivity. Manage your to-dos. To-dos. We often worry about seemingly never-ending lists of things we have to get done. Science has found that making to-do lists, okay, to-do lists can help your brain. Improve your brain, according to this. Keep the list short, just 3 things for a day. Put any overflow or another on a list. So make a list. Write this down, Dr. Fabianic said. And I keep telling you that when you have your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook and you're listening to the show and I can't annotate everything. Write this down. It's an order, huh? It sounded pretty authoritarian, didn't it? Okay, that's number 3. I'm going to get to 8 here in how many minutes? Exercise. Even a little bit of exercise will help. It helps your brain. Research shows that physical exercise improves memory and thinking skills. It improves mood and creativity and learning. While it reduces depression, age-related decline, and the risk of dementia and Alzheimer's and Weisenheimer's. Actually, born with Weisenheimer's if you come from a major city. That's another thing. We won't go there. Exercising also leads to better sleep, which of course you need because sleep is the number 1. Number 4, get organized. Before you start your day, tidy up your space, whether you're at work or at home. If you get in the habit of doing every day some organization, there will rarely be a big mess to clean up and the ongoing results will be worth it. Research shows that mess can lead to stress and depression. That sentence has poetic possibilities. Research shows the mess can lead to stress and depression. Mess can lead to stress and depression. It's got a rhythm to it. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Clutter distracts you and competes for your attention. So you get less focused and productive. Although, studies show that it may help you be more creative if you, I don't get that one at all. Meditate. Here's one. And Tom Savino should do a show all this. Oh boy, 6. I don't know. We're going to get 5. I got time. 6 minutes. Or if I decide to go earlier. To Tom Savino and Savino Veritas. If this is a station that's carrying my show, Cthulhu Chronicles, pick up Savino Veritas. Put it right behind my show. Put it in front of my show. But use it any way you want to on your station. Yeah. JuicedTalk.com is where you get the archives. Where you get the archives? Yeah, that's where the archives are there. And you can get this, the latest one, and put it on. You could do it. Nothing. Buddy, I know. Should have sponsors that pay for it. But again, we'll go right back to the beginning. It's not the way this world works. 5 is meditate. Tom Savino will tell you more about that. Here it is. Feed your head. Actually, number 6 is feed your brain. And I've heard this recently from reputable sources. When people get older, the more work you do, the more you think. You know, don't just sit around and watch football, baseball, soccer, or golf. Or anything else for that matter. Don't sit around, period, no matter what you're watching. Activity of the brain, keeping the brain active, doing things, even if it's stupid little puzzles. How about brain scramblers? Do brain scramblers. Buy Skull and Roses. Do brain scramblers. Send to me Frank at F. Cthulhu. I'll send them out to you. Hey, how about we do that every day? Hey, want some puzzles? It'll be delivered to your email every day. It's Cthulhu Chronicles Brain Scramblers. I'm going to some egg scramblers. So I'm hungry. Feed your brain. What is it? Supporting the brain healthy diet is rapidly improving. Feeding your brain optimally will not only help your overall health, but will improve brain health and cognitive function. Cognitive function? Holy peptide! That's great. What you put in your mouth directly affects what goes on in your brain. All right, whatever. Number 7, use all of your senses. Don't stop and just look. Stop. Think. Look. See. Smell. What are the senses? Do you know them? Can you say them? There are 5. Just go about your day as usual. Don't get the flu. As usual, with a few slight changes, it says, pay special attention to what your senses are telling you. I like this one. This I like you. Be mindful and aware. I like this too. This is what we tell you to do on Cthulhu Chronicles and have been telling you for 20 some odd years. And boy, were they odd. Really taste the boldness of your coffee. Take the time to really feel the sensation of each water droplet hitting your head in the shower. While walking your dog or just walking, you could walk your cat, you could drag your dead dog, whatever you do. Notice the songs of the different birds and feel the ground underfoot. The practice is called sensualizing. Sensualizing. Use your senses. Come to your senses, young man. If you want to make things more interesting, try using a sense you typically, try not using a sense you typically use so you can focus more on another one. Here's one sense, there's another sense. This makes sense, doesn't it? It makes total sense. For instance, close your eyes while you're eating, not while you're walking your dog or just walking. Do not close your eyes. That's what, don't use your smartphone while you're doing that. All right. 8, break out of your routine. This one might sound a little counterintuitive, but if you want to use your daily routine to boost your brain, change it. Change your routine. Kick your brain out. Kick your brain out. It's important to kick your brain out of its comfort zone by doing things that are unfamiliar and mentally challenging. Yes, yes, now I'm starting to like the best brain possible with these 8 ways of improving your brain. Stepping out of your routine forces. Don't be a zombie. I think that's what we'll take away, that's what we'll take from this show. Don't be a zombie. All the things you could do. And, what does it mean? It means this. And it's something, as I say, we talk about here, no matter what we're talking about here. And that is be alert. Wake up, it's night. Someone wanted me to explain that again. There you go. Wake up, it's night. You only have the rest of your life. That's it. That's all you have. I don't care if you're 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, you get the idea. I'm just going by tens. I could do by other ones. You want to do it? I don't care if you're 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60. I don't care. Be alert. Be awake. And be in the now. That's what meditation's all about. And that's what keeps you solid and able to tolerate and perform throughout the tasks and then the adventures you have and the episodes you have. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And I'm the creator of Johnny Peptide. And Peptide, the guitar instrumental that will premiere on the show or maybe whatever. And I'll be back, hopefully, as the worm turns on another Thursday. Now that we're in November, I didn't even mention that. We're done with that. We're in November now. This is November. And coming up, as I said, on most stations, coming up, Savino Veritas, getting ready. I can see him right there, powering up his machine and getting everything just right in order, huh? Right there. Yes. Oh, I hurt myself. Actually, I didn't. I startled myself. Don't, you know, say what's happening, okay? Don't say what's not happening. You know what to do. And again, the Mind Scramblers, you want them, fcotolo@yahoo.com. You got a special question? fcotolo@yahoo.com. You got a fever? fcotolo@yahoo.com. You want to know the best aspirin? Yeah, whatever it is, just get in touch with me at fcotolo@yahoo.com. And then we'll find. And if you answer the Mind Scramblers correct or incorrect, and I'll send them to you again if you give me your email. If you answer them correct or incorrect, as long as you respond, I shall send you something. Of course, I'll have to have the. I'll send you something, even if it's electronically. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. I'm just gonna move on my way. I got my peptides, my synapses, and my neurotransmitters are rolling. I'm on my way to another day. Who am I? I'm Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And I think I've said about all I can say, so I'll leave you since I have nothing more to say.